Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff of Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today we're discussing recent reports of swelling and other adverse reactions in dermal filler patients who had also received the COVID-19 vaccine. We will also discuss what types of fillers are triggering this reaction, as well as how to treat these side effects and how to possibly prevent them in the first place. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Whitney Bow, board-certified dermatologist in New York City, specializing in skin rejuvenation, laser dermatology, and the link between nutrition and skincare. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Bow. It's great having you here. My first question is, can you explain what is going on with dermal fillers in the COVID-19 vaccine?
So there were a few cases of delayed hypersensitivity reactions that were actually reported during the Moderna clinical trial. And, you know, ever since those reports came out in the dermatology community and also with other injectors, plastic surgeons, et cetera, we are seeing some other cases of what I call delayed hypersensitivity reactions, specifically to hyaluronic acid fillers. These are immunologic reactions. So they're really sort of your immune system is reacting to the vaccine. So they're people who have gotten fillers potentially even months prior to having the vaccine. Then they get the vaccine and then they get an immunologic response. They get an immune response to the vaccine, which is a good thing, right? You want to develop antibodies. So you want your immune system to react to the vaccine. Now, during that sort of immediate response after the vaccine, within the first, you know, couple of days, up to around 5-6 days, while your body is reacting, and some people that might be, you know, headaches, body aches, in other people they might have a sore arm or redness around the injection site. Very, very rarely we're seeing cases of people also reacting to prior hyaluronic acid filler injections. These are localized reactions. So you're seeing swelling that is localized to the site of the hyaluronic acid injections that might have been administered or that procedure might have been done many months even prior to the vaccine.
And my next question on that is, what kinds of dermal fillers are triggering this reaction and why?
So we're primarily seeing this type of response with hyaluronic acid fillers. And I think that's what we've seen in the past too. You know, this response is not new. We've seen this type of response before. We've seen it associated with other vaccines, for example, the flu vaccine. I have another colleague who saw this happen after a patient got the shingles vaccine. You know, so we know that this is not a completely new phenomenon. We've also seen this type of delayed hypersensitivity reaction to hyaluronic acid fillers occur even after a viral infection, like if you actually got the flu. Is it possible that it also will happen after just getting COVID, not the vaccine, but actually having the infection? Yes, it is definitely possible. And this is not a new situation, right? So we've seen this before. We primarily see this in the case of hyaluronic acid fillers. So there are many different types of fillers, right? There is calcium hydroxylapatite, there's polyolactic acid, there's hyaluronic acid. Far and away, the most commonly used filler in the United States is hyaluronic acid. So could it be that we're just seeing more of these very rare reactions in the case of hyaluronic acid fillers, predominantly because those are the fillers that we use most often? Very possibly. Does it have to do potentially with the material of the filler? Again, possibly yes. With regards to the types of fillers, you know, a lot of people have asked me, is it more likely to occur with Restylane, with Juvederm, with Bellaterra? Like, which filler should I use? Which filler should I not use? Is there anything I can do to minimize the risk? So theoretically, we do think that you might be more likely to see this type of reaction in the highly cross-linked fillers, or fillers that are basically last longer in the tissue. So there's something to be said for not administering, you know, if you're thinking about injecting someone and it's in proximity to when they might be getting a vaccine, you know, it might be helpful to administer small aliquots, small doses, not give big boluses of the filler in one particular location. Another technique that anecdotally, you know, seems to be helpful with regards to minimizing these sort of risks of these delayed hypersensitivity reactions includes blending. So, you know, taking a hyaluronic acid filler in the syringe, using a sister adapter, another syringe, and blending back and forth so that you're sort of breaking up some of the hyaluronic acid cross-links. When you put them in, they may not last as long and they may not have as much of an immunogenic response. So those are other things to just keep in mind, you know, if you are an injector and, you know, you're encountering patients and you just want to do everything possible to minimize the risk.
So next, how should physicians manage patient expectations who are getting dermal fillers or those who have already had fillers while the vaccine is being rolled out?
I think it's really important just to point out that we're not seeing these types of reactions with Botox, Dysport, Xeomin. You know, the neuromodulators, they work very differently. They don't stay in the tissue. And consequently, we haven't seen this type of reaction in the past with flu vaccines or other types of vaccines or other type of viral illnesses. And we don't anticipate seeing it with the COVID vaccine. That being said, you know, this is sort of new, the technology is new, you know, anything's possible, but I think the risk is very low. So I think right now we can feel comfortable reassuring our patients that, you know, it's not likely to cause a problem if they're thinking about getting, you know, a Botox or Dysport injection. I personally am telling my patients to wait 2 weeks anyway between those injections and getting the vaccine, just to be super safe. Another thing to point out is that we have not only seen this type of delayed hypersensitivity reaction with respect to other types of vaccines or viral infections, but at least in my practice, I often counsel my patients to wait at least a few weeks between dental cleanings and having filler. Again, to minimize this risk of having sort of an immune-related response. That say that they get a dental cleaning and then, you know, some of the bacteria in their mouth then goes into their bloodstream and it triggers an immune response and they start reacting to their filler. Like, is there a potential that that could be a problem? Yes. So that's something that I've spaced out with my patients before. Also, if a patient comes in and they have sinus congestion, or if they're just not feeling well, I've always discouraged them from getting filler. And I think, you know, that's something to keep in mind with these vaccines as well. Is, you know, these are sort of associations that we've seen over time that I think we probably as injectors, as dermatologists, should start explaining to our patients about timing of these different procedures. We should be more clear in our discussion and our recommendations. So, you know, we should be talking to them more about, in general, if you're getting a vaccine, whether it's a flu vaccine or a COVID vaccine, we recommend spacing it 2 to 4 weeks from the time that you get your filler injection. I am a very conservative injector. I am conservative about everything. I'm very risk averse. So I recommend 4 weeks when you're thinking about fillers and a vaccine. When I talk about dental cleaning, I recommend 2 weeks between fillers and a vaccine. But I think that it's important to sort of have these conversations if we haven't had them before. And if this isn't part of your practice in general, I think it's something that we should be talking about more now.
And on that, how should dermatologists treat these adverse reactions in their filler patients who might experience swelling and other side effects from the vaccine?
So if this happens to you, you know, if you get the call and your patient says, "Doctor, I saw you a couple months ago for my injections, my tear trough injections, and some injections in my lips, and now I just got the COVID vaccine a week or two ago, and I'm swelling. I'm having localized. So the first thing to do is, first of all, find out is this an anaphylactic reaction, or is this a localized swelling reaction? So you can ask questions like, are you having any difficulty breathing? You know, are you having hives all over your body? If the answer is yes, that's a very different scenario. That patient needs to go to the emergency room and potentially get, you know, epi and have a potential anaphylactic reaction treated. If the response instead is, oh yeah, I'm just getting some swelling right around where you injected me. You know, that's where I'm swelling and I'm no difficulty breathing, no other symptoms. If that's happening, then I think the first step is to consider antihistamines, right? So something like Benadryl in the evening, if somebody is very sensitive and feels very groggy with the Benadryl in the morning, perhaps maybe an Allegra or a Zyrtec, etc. That's first line. And I think after that, if it persists, if that patient then after a couple of days, now all the cases that we've seen, they seem to resolve pretty quickly. They seem to resolve in a couple of days. If that reaction persists and say that patient's still swollen a couple days later, is it reasonable to add an oral steroid? I think that the consensus right now is yes. I think that there is this concern, could short exposures to steroid sort of dull or blunt your antibody response or the desirable immune response to the vaccine. And I think that, you know, right now we don't think that it should have a significant impact, but again, it wouldn't be my first line, right? I would start with Benadryl. And if that wasn't doing the trick after a couple of days, then I would probably go to a Medrol dose pack. What about hyaluronidase? Do we need to dissolve out these fillers? Probably unlikely. The cases that we've heard of so far, whether they were reported during the Moderna trial or reported, you know, by colleagues who are just, you know, opening the lines of communication, these responses seem to be transient. So people seem to do very well within a couple of days with antihistamines, with or without oral steroids. So we probably won't need to use hyaluronidase, but isn't it great to have that in our back pocket? If there's a problem that's persisting past, say, 10 days, you know, or past a week, would I consider maybe dissolving out some of that filler? I sure would.
And my last question, what are your top tips for physicians to know in order to minimize and or prevent these adverse reactions in filler patients?
So as far as tips go, you know, how to minimize these risks. Number one, I'm telling my patients to wait 4 weeks between their vaccine and their filler. I know a lot of my colleagues who are just saying 2 weeks is fine. Again, I'm super conservative in that regard. Another thing to consider is, you know, just exploring the option with patients of other types of fillers. You know, I'm a big Sculptor injector. Maybe bring up the fact that we haven't seen these delayed hypersensitivity reactions as frequently with Sculptra. You know, is it worth maybe trying that filler if you're thinking about getting the vaccine, you know, in the next couple of months? Do we know that that's a guarantee you're not going to have a swelling response? No, but is it less likely based on the data that we're seeing? Yes. If somebody wants to use hyaluronic acid filler, what can we do? I personally recommend blending, you know, with either, you know, a little bit of lidocaine with epi or just plain lidocaine, depending on the location of the face. And, you know, just sort of breaking up that hyaluronic acid a little bit to minimize risk and of reacting to it. And then, of course, as far as the injection techniques, you know, not to inject a bolus, you know, a large amount at once. And maybe try to keep those injection points on the deeper side if possible, because we're seeing more of the swelling when there are more superficial injections, which it's a little bit difficult, you know, tear trough lip area, like how deep can you really go? You know, you don't have that much skin. Of course, in the tear trough area, I do try to be periorbital on the bone, you know, but the lips, I don't think there's that much we can do about it, especially, you know, certain fillers are really meant to be placed pretty superficially underneath the mucosa.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.